The Epistle for the Mass is from the Old Testament book of Proverbs, chapter 8. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways, before he made anything, from the beginning. I was set up from eternity and of old before the earth was made. The depths were not as yet, and I was already conceived. Neither had the fountains of waters as yet sprung out. The mountains with their huge bulk had not as yet been established. Before the hills I was brought forth. He had not yet made the earth, nor the rivers, nor the poles of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When with a certain law and compass he enclosed the depths, when he established the sky above and poised the fountains of waters, when he compassed the sea with its bounds and set a law to the waters that they should not pass their limits, when he balanced the foundations of the earth, I was with him forming all things and was delighted every day playing before him at all times, playing in the world. And my delight is to be with the children of men. Now therefore, ye children, hear me. Blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, and that watcheth daily at my gates, and waiteth at the posts of my doors. He that shall find me shall find life, and shall have salvation from the Lord. And the Gospel. It's taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judas and his brethren, and Judith begot Phares and Zamar of Tamar. And Phares begot Esron, and Esron begot Aram, and Aram begot Abinadab. Abinadab begot Naasson, and Naasson begot Salmon, and Salmon begot Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begot Obed of Ruth, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king, and David the king begot Solomon of her who had been the wife of Urias. And Solomon begot Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begot Abijah, and Abijah begot Asa, and Asa begot Josaphat, and Josaphat begot Joram, Joram begot Ozias, Ozias begot Joatham, and Joatham begot Achaz, and Achaz begot Ezekias, Ezekias begot Manasseh, Manasseh begot Amon, and Amon begot Josias, and Josias begot Jeconias and his brethren in the transmigration of Babylon. And after the transmigration of Babylon, Jeconias begot Salathiel, Salathiel begot Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel begot Abiud, Abiud begot Eliakim, Eliakim begot Azor, Azor begot Sadok, Sadok begot Achim, Achim begot Eliud, and Eliud begot Eleazar. And Eleazar begot Mathan, and Mathan begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. He that shall find me shall find life, and shall have salvation from the Lord. Words are taken from the Epistle. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. They once lived a very wicked woman named Ellen. One day, Ellen entered a church for whatever reason, and she happened to hear a sermon on the rosary. She was impressed, and so on leaving the church, she bought a rosary. But she wore it concealed, not wanting others to know that she had it. She began to pray the rosary, and although she did so with little devotion, Our Lady poured into her soul such sweetness and consolation that she could not stop repeating the Hail Marys. At last she was filled with such horror over her wicked life that she resolved to go to confession. She did so with true contrition and a sincere resolve to change her life, and afterwards she knelt before a statue of the Blessed Mother. And then she said a rosary in thanksgiving for the graces she had received. The Divine Mother then spoke to her from that statue. Ellen, she said, you have already offended God and me too much. From this moment, change your life, and I will bestow a large share of my graces upon you. Filled with confusion, this poor woman answered, Ah, most holy Virgin, it is true that until now I have been a wicked sinner, but you can do all things. Please help me. And on my part, I abandon myself to thee, and I will spend the remainder of my life doing penance for my sins. She kept her resolve. She gave away all that she owned to the poor, and she practiced great mortification. She was tormented for quite some time with dreadful temptations, but she constantly recommended herself to the Mother of God. She humbly and fervently prayed. And in this way, she was always victorious over these strong temptations. God rewarded her by giving her many special graces, including visions, revelations, and prophecies. Our Lady announced her death several days before it took place. The Blessed Virgin then came with her Divine Son to visit her. And when she died, her soul was seen flying towards heaven in the form of a beautiful dove, which was a symbol that she had done such perfect reparation and penance for her sins that she went straight to heaven. And I'll return in a moment to the lesson I would have you learn from this story. When the Son of God decided to redeem men, he chose to do so as a man. He chose to have a human mother. Mary was to be so special that even her parents were specially chosen. Joachim and Anne loved God sincerely and kept his commandments. They prayed for a child, but none came. They grew into their 60s. Still they prayed. They promised God that if he sent them a child, they would give that child to the service of God in the temple. And for them, it was, especially among the Jews, it was quite a stigma to be without children. It was regarded as a punishment from God. And people were often looked upon as great sinners if God did not give them children. And so after they prayed for many, many years and bore the humiliation of this stigma of being apparently chastised by God and of being viewed as sinners, God at last answered their fervent and humble prayers. And what an answer it was. Saint Anne conceived, and the Mother of God was created in her womb. In creating Mary, God created his greatest masterpiece from the beginning of the world. He designed her with absolute perfection, fitting her in every way for her lofty purpose and her future. He made her stunningly beautiful, in both body and soul. He preserved her from original sin, giving her unspotted innocence, immaculate purity. She who would crush the head of Satan would never be guilty of the slightest sin. Satan would never, even for a moment, have dominion over her. She would never be stained by the guilt of original sin, even though it might not have been her own sin. It would have still been the result of the devil's work. And so God preserved her from even that original stain of original sin. And so she was conceived without the slightest stain. She didn't need to be purified as the rest of us do afterwards by baptism. Into her immaculate soul, God poured an unbounded ocean of sanctifying grace from the first instant of her conception. The angel Gabriel would later call her, when he came to greet her, he would call her full of grace. He would say, Hail, that is greeting, full of grace. In reverence and awe over her dignity and holiness, he would bow low before her. Even before she became the Mother of God, she was already far above the angels in dignity and in holiness, that is, in her fullness of grace. Even at the moment of her conception, she possessed more grace than all of the angels and all of the saints. Today we join the angels as we celebrate the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin. this child whom we honor on her nativity today, on her birth, is to become our queen and our mother. It's the universal opinion that theologians, that she possessed the perfect use of reason from the first moment that she was conceived, which was, of course, would have been a special favor of Almighty God, because although the use of reason, the intellect, is a faculty of the soul, and it can function without the brain, which does actually take place once people die and their body is separated from their soul. Their intellect at that point is able to function, begins seeing things directly without the use of the brain, without the use of the eyes and the senses. But normally speaking, that's not the normal fashion. And so with Our Lady, it would have been a special divine favor that she would have been given the full use of her intellect and her will, which are faculties of the soul, at the first moment of her conception, even before her brain would have been fully developed in her mother's womb. So even as a child, she has the noble grace and refinement of a queen. Her great beauty, great dignity, great reserve, wonderful, beautiful modesty. Her love for God, even as a child, even as an infant, is more ardent than the seraphim. She possesses the sweetness and charm of a bride, the tenderness of a mother. She became our queen when Christ, our King, became her son. She became our mother when she consented to become the mother of God. And by giving us Jesus, she became our she gave us life. So she is truly our spiritual mother because she has given us spiritual life. And so we thus regard her as the mother of our souls, our spiritual mother. God gave her the love of a mother for us. And she loves us so much that she gladly offered the life of her son on Mount Calvary for our salvation. And if God had willed it, she would have given her very life with him as he sacrificed his life in order to give us life. For she understood why he was dying, that he was dying to save us. And she willed that. She was perfectly in union with his will. And because he willed to save men by such a painful and frightful death, she also willed it 100%, even though she felt great grief at seeing his sufferings. So her desire is to save us. She has an immense desire for our salvation, our sanctification, to bring us ultimately to heaven. She has power from God to save all who call upon her. She has a tender and compassionate love for poor sinners. And we are all sinners. We all need her continuous help. And so we pray to her in the prayer of the Hail, Holy Queen. We call her our life, our sweetness, and our hope. And she certainly is all of these. When we call upon her, she flies immediately to our assistance. St. Robert Bellarmine says that no power of hell or any temptation can overcome those who put their trust in this great and powerful mother. It has been said that when a whale sees its young in danger from storms or pursuers, it opens its mouth and shelters them. And according to one holy writer, he says it's the same with our Blessed Lady. When the storms of temptation rage, she protects her children with maternal tenderness, sheltering them in her bosom until she has brought them into the harbor of salvation. Many people have overcome the devil and his temptations by calling upon the Mother of God. The story I told you about that woman who was once a great sinner, Ellen, she did so. She was once a wicked woman, but with God's grace, with devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, she became devout and holy. She became a great saint, having been a great sinner. And with the help of the Blessed Mother, she overcame every temptation. Our Lady revealed to St. Bridget that she is the mother not only of the just and innocent, but also of sinners, as long as they are willing to repent. Our Lady cannot help an obstinate sinner, but those who wish to become her children. So those who wish to become her children must first abandon sin. They must try to honor this good mother by imitating her virtues, her humility, her purity, her charity towards God and neighbor. St. Alphonsus tells of a certain sinner who once said to Mary, in desperation, perhaps in impatience, perhaps at the impatience with all their struggles, perhaps at the impatience of not being answered immediately when they prayed to Our Lady. This particular sinner said to Our Lady, "Show thyself a mother." Perhaps it seems that this person was calling out in exasperation, in impatience. And the Blessed Mother saw fit to answer this person, and she replied, "Show thyself a son." Every sin causes sorrow to the Blessed Mother, for every sin caused the death of Jesus, her son. So as long as a sinner is obstinate, Mary cannot love him, for he is not her child. But as soon as a sinner wishes to repent and calls upon her assistance, she will gladly come to his aid with the almighty power of God that God has given her at her disposal. And she will, with God's help, she will help him to regain the state of grace and to persevere in the state of grace. The Virgin Mary is also our life, for she helps us to persevere in God's grace. She wants to help us serve God perfectly. She wants us to have peace and happiness. She has brought these blessings to so many people, and she can bring them to us if we act as her good children, if we frequently call upon her. When Our Lady appeared to St. Catherine Labouré in 1830, I believe it was, she appeared with multiple rings on every one of her fingers, and those rings shone with a radiant light, which is beyond the brilliance of the sun, beautiful and wonderful to behold. St. Catherine questioned her about those rings, and she told St. Catherine that these rings and the stones, the light that the stones were shining forth, represented the treasures of various graces that she gave her children, her devout disciples, those who were devoted to her. Now, some of those stones were dull and shone with no light at all. And Our Lady explained that these symbolized graces which were available, which she longed to give, which were in her hands, but which sinners and men did not ask for. And because people did not ask for those graces were not given. And so this shows us that if we want to receive her help, her graces, we must ask for them. We must humbly, fervently, and perseveringly pray to her. And if we do not ask, we will not receive. Call upon this good mother frequently, in times of temptation, in times of suffering, in times of weariness. Think of her suffering. Think of her life. And you will find comfort and courage in imitating her patience. Try to form the habit of offering her your work in the midst of your daily duties, especially when your work is burdensome and wearying. Offer her your work and try to embrace your chores and duties for love of God. In the evenings, kneel down before her image and pray her Holy Rosary. Try to imitate her virtues, especially her humility, her purity, her charity. And be aware that the more you honor her and try to imitate her, the more she will bless you. Do not despise her or neglect her. Your salvation has been entrusted to her. It is the opinion of the fathers of the Church that that all graces come through her hands. Although our Lord is the only Savior, it seems that he has chosen to give the dispensation, the handing out of all of his graces into the hands of Mary, and that all grace comes through her hands. So those who despise Mary or culpably neglect to pray to her cannot expect to receive the graces of salvation. Serve her faithfully with great love and devotion, and she will in turn love you and bless you. She will obtain the blessings ultimately of that will help you save your soul and gain for you an eternal reward when you will one day rejoice in her happy company and enjoy the greatest joys of heaven, especially the beatific vision of possessing and seeing God Himself, which vision will totally and completely satisfy all the desires of the human heart. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.